Good morning. We as a church have been walking through the book of Romans, kind of. That's kind of the series, talking about faith and the difference between religion and faith, what we hold to, what the good news is. Remember, we've been talking about the good news. We're called to share the good news, and the Bible, you know, that word, the gospel, that's what it means, the Greek word, good news. And what that good news is, what it isn't, because last week we talked about some of those ideas that kind of creep into our understanding, and we're going to continue that this week, but kind of focus and zero down on a couple ideas about faith, because we want to ask the question, is our faith more than just fire insurance? You know, there's this kind of teaching, we're just trying to escape some eternal punishment. And we're going to look at what Paul has to say about true faith, about what faith is, what it's not, and how we kind of arrive at where we are. So we're going to look at this passage from Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. Here's what Paul says. So now, since we have been made right in God's sight by faith in His promise, remember, because last week we said, you know, our faith is not by good works. We don't get saved by piling up a whole stack of good deeds, but through God's gift to us. Remember, Christianity is not something we do for God. It's something that God has done for us, and we accept that gift. And so that's what he says. So now, since we've been made right by God's sight, by faith in his promise, we can have real peace with him because of what Jesus Christ has done for us. For because of our faith, he has brought us into this place of highest privilege where we now stand, and we confidently and joyfully look forward to actually becoming all that God has in mind for us to be. We can rejoice too when we run into problems and trials, for we know that they are good for us. They help us learn to be patient. And patience develops strength of character in us, helps us trust God more each time we use it, until finally our hope and faith are strong and steady. Then when that happens, we will be able to hold our heads high no matter what happens and know that all is well, for we know how dearly God loves us. And we feel this warm love everywhere within us because God has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with His love. When we were utterly helpless with no way of escape, Christ came at just the right time and died for us sinners who had no use for Him. And even if we were good, we really wouldn't expect anyone to die for us, though of course that might be barely possible. But God showed His great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. And since by His blood He did all this for us as sinners, how much more will He do for us now that He has declared us not guilty? Now He will save us from all of God's wrath to come. And since when we were His enemies, we were brought back to God by the death of His Son, what blessings He must have for us now that we are His friends and that He is living within us. Now we rejoice in our wonderful new relationship with God, all because of what our Lord Jesus Christ has done in dying for our sins, making us friends of God. This is the word of God for the people of God. Let us say together, thanks be to God. Thanks be to God. So real faith then is more than fire insurance. That's what Paul's saying. Granted, it's important to be connected to God in this powerful and meaningful way. That to have and be assured of an eternity with Him is the center and heart, because God made us for Himself. God is an eternal God, and so He wants us to know Him, to be involved with Him, to have a relationship with Him. That real faith is more than just ritual. It's more than just actions we perform, check boxes, you know, on a list. That real faith is a relationship with the living Creator, the one who made us. We've been talking about that, right? Everybody still remember from the last few weeks? We've been talking about that. So now he goes even further, that faith is not just merely that initial kind of act of connecting us with God. There's more to it than that. And as we go to the communion table today, we want to kind of, as we focus in on God's gift for us and what Christ has sacrificed for us, I think it's important to talk about what it means to trust God and what we're trusting God for. Because religion, faith in Christ, I should say, Christianity, is more than just pie in the sky by and by, right? Christianity gets criticized for that. That it's just this mere wish fulfillment and kind of an insurance policy that we take out in case there is an afterlife where we might be punished for our sins. If I follow Christ, at least I've covered that base. I've got my policy taken out. I'm a Christian, I follow Jesus, so therefore I don't really have to worry about that. I can do what I want to do, live how I want to live. It doesn't really matter because I've got that area covered, right? That's insurance, isn't it? And sometimes for some people, that's all faith is. Oh, I took care of that a long time ago, and you know, and Paul seems to indicate that life with God, real faith, trusting in God, this day-to-day experience of looking to our Creator, living in His presence, living with a constant recognition of God's activity and care and concern, has some implications and begins to act on our lives in certain ways. So first, the second thing we're going to talk about is that since real faith is more than just fire insurance, what is it? And I'm going to talk about three things real briefly, and then we're going to celebrate God's gift and grace at the table. So real faith is grants, Paul would say, the greatest potential to your life. There's a great potential that is offered in Christ, that because we are now connected to our Creator in this very meaningful, powerful way, new potential is granted to my existence. That my life can be employed in ways that it could never be employed in before, in ways that change other people's lives. That the potential of living with God is so great and wonderful because now I'm connected to my Creator. That the one who made me knows exactly why He made me. The one who made you knows exactly why He brought you into existence. And as I experience this relationship with Him, I become more and more aware and begin to participate with His plan for me. We talked about how we have different things in our household that are all intended for different purposes, right? And we know that they're best employed when they're used for what they're, you know, we will use them for what they're designed for. Does that make sense? Everybody still on board? Like, you know, I don't want to use the wrong thing, the wrong tool for the wrong job. We and you and I, the Bible says, were created with an intentionality by this divine Creator, and our lives are best spent in alignment with His purposes. And so this potential that exists within you and I is found in its fullest way by participating and living under the authority in the presence of God. But how do we do that? You know, this potential life that you and I might have becomes real as we pay more and more attention to our Creator. You know, I think the parallel that Paul uses in other letters is the idea of an athlete. Maybe many of you have been around, maybe in high school, you've been around sports. How many of you have participated in sports throughout your life or been around your children who have participated in sports? How many of you have been, you know, around that? You know, I find it really disturbing. I can watch videos on the internet of how people treat coaches now, you know, which is very different than when I was growing up. I know when I started in baseball, you know, when I was wee little, you know, the coach's word was law. You know, you did what the coach said, and let alone what the ref said. I mean, the ref was, that was, you know, and we were taught that kind of, because I was going to find my greatest abilities when I listened to my coach as he attempted to train me. You know, this idea that our greatest potential is found in training with someone who knows how to train us. We know our Olympic athletes, the greatest athletes in the world, all have something in common. They all have a what? A coach. They have someone who's guiding that training so that the greatest potential within them. Because that coach, looking from the outside in, can see the things that they can't see as they perform, right? We find this in our household because Jesse likes to dive. And so we're always there at the meets and taking videos of Jesse, you know, diving. And Julie's always good. We get different angles and different times. And then we can talk and he can see those kind of things. His coach does the same thing. You know, this outside perspective gives us a view on our life. God offers that to you and I, this potential of living with Him in such a way that we can take note of what God has to say as He guides our life. It's a challenge. Our greatest potential in our life is unlocked when we begin to pay attention to the one who seeks to guide us. That's why God's word is so important to us as we try to follow and live in God's light. This outside kind of evaluator of our life, this more objective kind of evaluation of who I am is so important to me. Because the Bible holds me to standards that I do not hold myself to. I don't know about you. How about you? You know, the Bible tells me that every person looks right in their own eyes, that when we evaluate ourselves, we always kind of have rose-colored glasses. You know, the things that we would judge in someone else as really horrible, when we do them, they're understandable because we have good motives, right? We have good intentions and we want a certain outcome, so I can kind of fudge things or I can kind of skirt around the truth or only tell part of it because that's not lying, that's not deceiving. I have this good outcome, right? You know how we do that. You know how our mind works when we convince ourselves and we talk ourselves into things that we know are right. But when God comes in, when we allow God to coach us in this life, we begin to get this view of ourselves that is more accurate. And when we listen to what He has to say, when we listen to the training that He provides, this greatest potential, trusting and living in the light of God's love allows this potential to take form, which allows me the greatest power for my life. The greatest power in my life comes in practicing this faith. We use the word practice because it's so important. Paul uses it over and over again, this idea of training in righteousness. You know, so often, I say in my early Christian life, I felt like a failure. You know, I knew the things I was supposed to do, but I would do them pretty good, but then I would fail. And I would say, what's wrong with me? Why can't I do this? And I would see these, you know, these great people that I knew and I walked alongside and I saw them live out their faith and their willingness to extend themselves on behalf of others. And I would look at them in some ways, I would say, you know, I wish I could be that way. And sometimes I would be dismissive of them because I knew I just could never be like that. And they were just, and then I would try to tell myself, oh, they're just being holier than thou or something like that, you know, to try to prove something. And that wasn't the case at all. They were just living out their faith, but because I couldn't live up to that, I would, you know, this tension kind of grew in my life. Do you know what I'm talking about? That feeling like, you know, and sometimes I would ask myself, what's wrong with me? Why can't I live up to this? The Bible tells us that this power of living in faith is unlocked as we train for righteousness. You know, training is different than trying. You know, I try and I fail and I try and I fail, but if I go to train, I go with the intention that I am not where I'm going to be someday. But as I practice, as I extend, and as I train, that eventually, if I went outside and I said, there's going to be a great marathon in Erie today. We've talked about this before. I've used this very illustration. We're going to have the first Super Bowl Memorial Weiss Library Marathon. And all of us were going to get up before lunch here and go out, and the starting line was painted out there, and we all took off. How many of us would get very, well, Tom probably would, and but the rest of us are going, you know. Brian probably would be right beside him, and the rest of us would be gasping, I think. At least I would. You bicycle too, Jim. You'd probably be all right. You know, but, you know, if I said I wanted to run a marathon today, it would be ridiculous. But if I said I want to run a marathon a year or 2 years from now, that might be more possible. Why? Because I could start today and begin a daily training of my life. Training is acting in a way, not so that I can do something today, but through training, I could be and do something that I could never do right now through effort alone. That by daily practice, daily participation, daily routines, I begin to grow and stretch and train in such a way that 2 years from now, I'll be something that I could never have been by sheer effort alone today. But through training, through repetition, through practice, I begin to grow and strong. And see, this is how God's power is unlocked in our lives. We talk about spiritual disciplines in our life, and we think about them as if we're just trying to be holy. But that's not how Paul presents them. That's not how the New Testament shares with us a life in Christ. They do not talk about trying to be righteous. It talks about training to be righteous. that we participate in training our lives, training our habits, training our minds, training our desires, so that over time I'm able to do things and be somebody that I could never be today by sheer effort alone. It's so important that participating with God is so much greater than fire starting, that unlocking God's power in my life day by day by day comes through this training in righteousness. That I extend myself little by little, that I participate in spiritual disciplines with Christ, with God. And God, I unlock that potential by allowing God to coach me into being the person that He created me to be, that He created you to be. I doubt if I asked today and I asked you to raise your hands if there was ever a time where you felt like you were a failure in your spiritual life. Most of us would probably, if we were honest and were willing to expose ourselves to that scrutiny, would probably raise our hands. There are times where I fail to be a good Christian, a loving person, a kind person, a person willing to extend myself for my fellow human beings, to reach out to them and care for them and love them and forgive them in ways that they deserve and need to be forgiven and loved. We've all failed at that. But so often I can look at my failure and say, this is too hard, and I give up trying. And maybe I should, and realize that what I'm not in the process of trying, I'm in the process of training. We go to the gym and we try to work out and we grab a weight that's too heavy for us, of course we're going to fail. But if we step and act consistently, doing the things that we can do and in an effort to train ourselves in the ways of God, we'll find that the burdens that we bear in this life, you know, Jesus promises that His load is easy, His burden light, that as we walk with Him, we'll find rest for our souls. But so often, if I try to do it on my own, all I find is exhaustion and defeat. See, walking with faith and real faith invites us to a life of training, a life granting me God's power as I seek to obey. But what Paul says here in the final part of this passage, we were His enemies, but we were brought back to God through trust in His Son. What blessings He must have for us now that we are His friends. Real faith offers the greatest friend for your life. We can use language like coach that denotes a certain authority over us, and us under submission to that person. But the idea that Jesus offers is even better than that. He offers partnership, friendship in this life. That having settled the issue of whether He's God or not in our life allows God to act in my life as my friend. Acknowledging the reality of my connection with Him, that He is my Savior and Lord, now allows God to, once that's settled, begin to participate with me as a friend. That now I understand God is not trying to use me to prove a point. He's not trying to employ you to accomplish some task. Instead, He's asked to come alongside you and live with you as your friend, to accomplish something in this world side by side with you, as His goals unfold before us all. Jesus offers this friendship. And I think when we talk about faith as merely I'm doing the right thing so I don't go to hell, or so I avoid punishment, or I see heaven, or I get some reward, real faith, a life of faith, is so much greater than that. Day by day, it involves this training that happens, this potential outcome for who I could be. But it offers more than that potential, but it also offers a partner, this friend that God offers, you know, this friendship. And that's what we rejoice over. You know, when Jesus, you know, that same week when Jesus was talking to His disciples, you know, he taught them, no longer do I call you, you know, my servants. No longer do I call you my disciples. I now call you what? He says, my friends. And one of the things that he taught was that no greater love has someone than this, that someone lay down their life for their friends, for their friend. I mean, that was the demonstration that he gave ultimately for all of us. That if we really want to understand what God seeks to be with us, we need to look at the life of Christ. Because as we see that life unfold in the what we call the Gospels, which really means what, church? Good news, right? The books of the first four books of the New Testament are called the Good News of God. We see a divine power who created all of heaven and earth. John says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. You know, that idea that this divine being who uttered forth the universe has come down to us to share life with us, to eat with us, to love with us, to smile, to laugh, to teach, to train, to walk beside. You see Jesus after the resurrection sitting beside the beach cooking a meal for his friends. You know, that's stuff that you and I do all the time, right? We see God in the person of Christ. We see him there showing us his real desire and his real heart and why all of history happened, so that he could show us and show you and I his desire for our life together. It's one of the greatest blessings. So when we talk about sharing the good news with others, this is the good news. That God has come. That he's with us. That he's present. Living life with you, living life with me. And then he makes that offer to any who might trust in him, any who might believe in him, and put their faith in his love. And so the Bible says, when on the night he gave himself up for us, he took bread. He broke the bread, he gave it to his disciples, and he said, this is my body given for you. Do this as often as you eat it in remembrance of me. Likewise, when the supper was over, he took the cup, he gave thanks, he gave it to his disciples, said, drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of a new covenant, a new agreement. In my blood poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of your sins. You know, that idea that what we did wrong would no longer stand between us and our Creator. So let's give thanks through prayer. Let us pray. Pour out your Holy Spirit upon us and upon these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with each other, one with you. We pray that you would guide us to your heavenly banquet. That in that day, throughout our lives, when we see you, you would offer us your arms. That we would hear your voice, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into our rest. Lord, we pray through the taking of this sacrament that we might receive you with joy, that we might welcome your friendship once again, that we might rejoice in your love and celebrate your faithfulness to us. We pray that you would take us through our years, that we might feast someday in your heavenly banquet. We pray that all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. The bread which we break is a sharing in the body of Christ. Because there is one bread, we who are many are one body.